All right. Today we are beginning a brand new series called Legacy, and it's about living a life that outlives your life. All right, I'm excited about that. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But before we do, yesterday we had a great privilege to host National Chin Day here in this building. And this place was packed, well over 1,000 people. If you don't know, there are about 30,000 Burmese refugees in central Indiana. These are Christians who had to flee their country because of persecution by the Buddhist government. I know a lot of us don't know a lot about, you know, that type of thing, but a lot of them have landed here in central Indiana. God has brought the world to us. And so yesterday, this place was just filled with people celebrating and praying to God. The mayor of Indianapolis was here, the mayor of Southport, all kinds of people. And our own Danielle Grin is the leader of the Chin Community Foundation. Would you just give God praise for the privilege of serving our community and being a blessing there? All right, I know it's 9 o'clock and it's February, but that's a golf clap, all right? So I'm just giving you a little bit of a heads up here today. Today, as we start this series, Legacy, I want to start with this simple thought here this morning. What we're talking about is living with eternal perspective. I want to challenge you this morning to live with an eternal perspective. Because how many know perspective, the way you live your life, with what perspective you live your life is very important. And I can't think of a better way to illustrate that than the difference between cats and dogs. Here we go. So I'm going to read to you some excerpts from a dog's diary, and then I'm going to read you some excerpts from a cat's diary. This is deep theological stuff we're about to get into right here. All right, here's some excerpts from a dog's diary. Are you ready? 8 a.m., ate dog food, my favorite thing. 9:30, rode in the car with my head out the window, my favorite thing. Lunch, my favorite thing. 1 p.m., played in the yard, wagging my tail. You guys get it, all right. 5 p.m., milk bones, my favorite thing. 7 p.m., got to play ball. 8 p.m., watch TV with the people, my favorite thing. You kind of get the idea. Here's an excerpt from the cat's diary. Day 983 of my captivity. My captors continue to taunt me with bizarre little dangling objects. The only thing that keeps me going is my dream of escape. That's it. All the cat owners, you know what I'm talking about, right? Listen, here's this thought. I want you to write this down. My behavior is a result of my perspective. How many know you can choose to look at your life a lot of different ways, but the reality is, whatever perspective you choose to live your life, it will affect the things that you say, the way that you act, and your attitude, right? So my behavior is a result of my perspective, and my encouragement to everybody here today is to live with an eternal perspective. Because we're going to look at a ton of scripture here this morning, but we're going to start with the most obvious one here in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It's very encouraging. Here it is. People are destined to die. Aren't you glad you came to church today? You know, people are destined to die. Now, here's the good news. You only have to do it once. You don't have to die again and again. People are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. I have a date with death. It's getting more encouraging here today. You know, I've mentioned over the years that there is a website called deathclock.com. You can go there, put in your birth date. You know, are you a positive person or a negative person? Because apparently your attitude has to do with how long you'll live. Come on, somebody. I'm not even preaching about that today. And if you type in all the information, it'll give you your date of death. I checked mine yesterday. Apparently, I'm good till 2055 in July, apparently. So I didn't do the math because I just didn't want to do that, if you know what I'm saying. But the reality is we all have a date with death. And so here's the deal. By the way, nobody gets to escape that. After death, what's next? Well, the scripture says this is what's next. Did anybody even want to dare utter this word?
Judgment.
The Bible says we die once, and after that, the judgment. Well, okay, what does that look like? And if we're honest, a lot of people don't know about this. And what I'm going to teach you today, there are a lot of people who have no idea the two judgments that we are going to face after we die. Now, let's talk about the first one. The first judgment that the Bible talks about is the great white throne judgment. In the book of Revelation, it's described this way. I saw the dead. Remember, they already died. How many times did they die? Once. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and there were open books, and one of them was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their deeds as recorded in the books. So this is the judgment. The great white throne judgment is the judgment where everybody who has ever lived will stand before God. This is from Adam and Eve to that day that everyone who ever lived will stand before God. Now, regardless of who you are and regardless of what you believe, the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord on that day. If you go to church, if you didn't, if you lived in America or China or Africa, it doesn't matter if you were an atheist or if you were a devout Christian, every knee will bow on that day at the great white throne. And here's the deal. Everybody's got to come to terms with the scripture in Romans. It says each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. So after your death date, you have a court date. Just let that sink in for a moment. After this, I'm going to give an account of my life to God. Now, how many of you are good test takers? You're just good when you were in school. I saw some hands going up. You know, I'm good at this. How many of you were not good test takers? You know, you studied, you worked hard, but man, when it comes to the test, it just kind of overwhelms you. You got anxious, all that kind of stuff. So I want to help prepare you, because this judgment that I'm talking about is going to be a test. And you're only going to have to answer one question. And I'm going to give you the question in a minute, and I'm going to give you the answer. How many know anybody can ace the test if you give you the answer, give you the question and the answer? So you're going to thank me today for this message. This judgment is going to be a test, and it's not going to be a test of if you were a good person or if you were a bad person. There's only one question on the test, and it's not going to be how many times you went to church. It's not going to be how many times you messed up or how many mistakes. The question is going to be, what did you do with my son Jesus? The only question that matters on the day of the great white throne judgment is, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? Because God's going to say something like this: I sent my son to the earth to pay for your sin. Because the Bible says all sin has to be paid for. The wages of sin, Romans says, is death. Most people, unfortunately, are going to pay for their own sin. Think about the fact, have you ever thought about the fact that hell is really a place where people choose to pay for their own sin? God is the one who paid the price through his son, Jesus Christ. And so you are going to want to say on that day that I received Christ's forgiveness and I surrendered my life to him and I trusted him to save me. See, I call the great white throne judgment the grace judgment. Now, I know a lot of us, when we think about the great white throne judgment, we feel smoke and burn, and the books were open and burn. It's really a grace judgment, because no amount of works will get you into heaven. No amount of good deeds, no amount of money, no amount of whatever you think will get you into heaven. It will only be by the grace of God. Come on, somebody. Because Jesus paid for your sins and there is nothing you can do to earn it. Right? Now, it seems pretty simple, But Jesus said there's going to be a lot of people shocked on the day of the great white throne judgment. Here's how he described it in Matthew 7. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He says, many, not some, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done a lot of Christian things? Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? But the Bible says, Jesus will say, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Wow. You see, some people are going to take this grace judgment, and they're going to want to make it a works judgment. Some people are going to want to take this judgment where the only answer is the grace of God, and they're going to say, but God, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and this is a pretty good resume. Casting out demons, doing all these good things, right? But listen, the Bible says Christianity is not about a religion. It's not about religious activity. It's about a relationship with the God who made us. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because of what he says here. I never knew you. That word knew is the Greek word gnosko, and it implies family relationships. Are you getting this? And this is where in the vision, God's vision for the church, we say we want people to know God. The word is gnosko. We want people to know him personally. Matter of fact, that's the right answer to the question. Go ahead and write this down. You'll need it for the test. What did you do with my son Jesus? You're going to say, I knew him personally. I wasn't just a religious person. I didn't just go to church. I submitted my heart and life to Jesus, and I'm relying only on the grace of God, the grace of the cross of Jesus Christ to save me. So listen, so the great white throne judgment is about your eternal destiny. And that's pretty important. And some of you here today, you're not ready. Maybe you're watching online today, and you're not ready for the great white throne judgment. I've got some good news, because today you can get ready. Amen. All right? But today, let me talk to you about the other judgment. And this is a different judgment that the Bible talks about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what we have done. Now, don't let this confuse you, because this is a different judgment. This judgment is not for everybody who's ever lived. This judgment is just for believers who have accepted Christ, who have repented of their sins, who do know God personally. Are you following me? See, because I think some people get this confused. They think, well, you're only saved by grace, but we're supposed to do good works, you know? And so they kind of get it confused. You're saved by grace, but you're going to get rewarded for your works. Your works can't get you into heaven. It's impossible. Only the grace of God through the cross of Jesus Christ can get you into heaven. Am I in the right place today? But the Bible does say you're going to be rewarded for the way that you live your life after you have found Jesus Christ. Now, so the question at this judgment is not, what did you do with Jesus? Here's the question at this judgment. What did you do with what I gave you? Theologians call this the judgment seat of Christ. Another name for it is the bema seat. So this is a judgment, again, where each one of us as believers, we're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to give an account of our lives, and he's going to ask you this question. I'm trying to make this test easy for everybody. What did you do with what I gave you? Not what did you do with Jesus. You've already answered that question. That's the reason you're here at this judgment. What did you do with what I gave you? Now, according to this verse, and there are many others in the Bible, we're going to be rewarded in heaven for the good things that we have done in this life. Jesus said it in Matthew 16, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. How many know God is a rewarder? I want you to get this. God is a rewarder. He's a good father. And like good fathers, we like to reward our kids for their behavior, their good things, right? And so he says, I'm going to reward you for the good that you have done. Now, the Greek word here for reward is a Greek word apodidomai, which literally means to pay back. So God says, every good thing that you have done in my name, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to apodidomai. I'm going to pay you back. You say, Pastor, I don't do good things so that I'll get rewarded. Take it up with Jesus. It's his deal. It's not my deal. He says he's going to reward you, so just accept it. You're going to have to be rewarded for the good that you have done. See, the Bible paints this picture that Jesus is watching all of us. And he's writing down, and he's keeping track. The Bible says he won't forget the good things that you've done for him. So let me just encourage, there's somebody upstairs in Grace Kids sitting around a circle of five or six elementary kids. And they're their small group leader, and they're leading them in prayer, and they're encouraging them. The Bible says that Jesus is watching that person, and they're going to be rewarded. The cameraman that we never see on that camera right there showed up early today for church. He got here real early and he joined together with us to pray. He's going to be there several hours today. Cameraman, stick your head around here so I can see who you are. All right. That's Brandon. Give it up for Brandon. All right. God's going to reward for every act of kindness done in his name. Are you getting this here today? See, the judgment is the day of rewards. And here's the message. Live for that day. Live your life with that day in mind. And every day, live your life with the day that I'm going to give an account of my life to God, and he's going to reward me for the good that I have done. You say, Pastor, why should I do that? Well, because Jesus used this as one of the main motivations in the scripture. In Matthew 6, he says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, every good thing that you did in my name, every person that you served, everything that you gave will be stored up for you in an account in heaven. And on this day, you're going to want to say, Lord, I used my short time on the earth to make a difference in the lives of other people. As a matter of fact, this is one of the last statements in the entire Bible. So this is how the Bible ends in Revelation 22. Look, I am coming soon. And look at it again. My reward, my apodidomai, is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have, of what they have done. You see, I want you to get this. How I live my life matters. How I serve other people matters, right? So here's the answer to the question, what did you do with what I gave you? You want to be able to say, I gave my life away. Amen. I gave it away. I lived my life in such a way that I realized my life is not about me. It's not about my little circle. But before Jesus, my whole life, before I found Jesus, before Jesus found me, my whole life is about me finding Jesus so I don't have to pay for my own sin. But once I find Jesus, now my life is about making a difference in the short time that I have left. I want to encourage you. I want to talk to you how to live your life in light of this day. Matter of fact, my goal is that when we're all standing there before the judgment seat of Christ, I want a bunch of y'all to look back at me and wink. And you're going to say, thank you, Pastor. And I'm going to say, you're welcome. I'm not kidding. I want you to be rewarded. I want you to be blessed on that day. And today is all about getting ready. See, Pastor, help me understand this. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The Bible says that God has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has set eternity in the human heart. See, the reality is, if we're going to live driven by eternity with an eternal perspective, all we have to do is recognize God has already put eternity in our hearts. We just got to recognize that and live this way. And so let me help you prepare to have a good test day. All right? You want to get an A-plus on this test? Anybody want to get an A-plus on this test? I want you to write these down. Number one, I will intentionally, and I'm going to use the word intentionally, because you can't be ready for that day and do things out of emotion. You got to decide, this is how I'm going to live my life. This is what I'm going to do. So I have to intentionally give what I have. Now, here's the good news. You don't have to give what you don't have. God doesn't require us to give what we don't have. But what he does have given to us, he requires us to give. See, Pastor, what are you talking about? You've got breath in your lungs. You've got arms. Go hug somebody. Be a blessing. You got thumbs? Encourage somebody with a text. Come on, somebody. How many know we have a lot in 2019? We are blessed. You know, we have more than anyone else in history. I was thinking about this a few months ago. I flew to China on one day. I came back to the United States 8 days later. And when you think about it, and you're in that plane, I'm in a chair in the air. That's just crazy, especially when you're flying over the Pacific Ocean, if you know what I'm talking about. What an amazing time we live in. You know, and so God has given us a lot. Look at this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul says, command those who are rich in this present world. See, some of you are stopping right there. Okay, Pastor, see, that's not me because I'm not rich. Let me pause for a second. If you live in the United States of America, you're rich. Are you hearing me? If you live in Indiana, you are filthy rich. You go to Grace Assembly of God, you are stinking rich. Come on. Come on. Am I in the right church? God has blessed us. He says, if you're rich in this present world, and that's us, don't be arrogant or put your hope in your stuff because that's so uncertain. But put your hope in God. This is good. Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, let me stop right there. It's not wrong to enjoy the things that God gives to us. The blessings that he provides there, we don't have to be guilty about that. We don't have to feel bad about that. We live in America. Thank God for that. We are blessed. Thank God for that. We have what other people don't have. It's not about comparing. It's about being grateful. Here's what God says. So command them, do good and be rich in good deeds and to be generous with what you have. Are you getting this here today? God says, freely you have received, freely give. So we've got to live our lives in such a way that we do what the scripture says. Do good. Let's stay right here on that, the previous scripture. Good deeds, be generous. You know, what that means is, what God has given to me, I'm willing to share. A few weeks ago, had a pastor who planted a church here in the community, reach out to me. He says, hey, can I come by and talk to you? I've heard your story a little bit in our community, and you've been here a long time, and he's been here like 2 years. And he's like, can I ask you some questions? I said, sure. So he came by my office. We talked for a couple hours, and his jaw hit the floor. He says, I can't believe you're telling me all of this. I'm like, freely we have received. Freely we give. Had another pastor from Fort Wayne last week in my office, and he's asked me all these questions. He says, can I have this? Yeah. Do you guys have this? Yeah, here it is. And I sent an email to my staff. I said, so-and-so is going to be emailing you. Give them whatever they need. Yesterday, this place was filled with Burmese refugees, kicked out of their country, religious persecution. We had people in this room that gave a Saturday on cameras, audio, video, all over the place. So why would we do that? Everybody's busy. Because look at what we have. Look at what we have been. Come on, somebody. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are commanded to do good, be rich in good deeds, and be generous. God does not say give what you don't have, but he says what you have, you got to be willing to share that with other people. I'm preaching better than your amen in here this morning, because God has made me rich with encouragement, rich with abilities, rich with grace, rich with kindness, rich with every good thing, and I'm supposed to share that. So let me give you a few practical steps when it comes to preparing for that day to give what you have. Let me encourage you to take a few steps. First of all, I want to challenge everybody here, if you're not yet a tither, to take the 90-day tithing challenge. Now, what's that? I'm asking if you are not yet a tither, that you take the very first step in being a giver. Tithing is the very first step of becoming a giver. So you're saying for the next 90 days, I'm going to give God 10% of my income. That's what tithe means. Tithe means tenth. I'm going to give 10% of my income to God through this church. Now, everybody should have received a card that looks like this. It's a legacy card. And if you say, Pastor, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the 90-day tithing challenge. Then when the service is over, go to the red information tent, and you're going to turn that in, and we're going to give you this book called The Blessed Life by Pastor Robert Morris. One of the funnest and most exciting reads you'll ever read about generosity and somebody who's living it out loud, okay? So I want to encourage everybody to take the 90-day challenge.
Amen.
And all the tithers said, amen. All right. Now, the second thing I want you to do, I want to challenge you to give to Kingdom Builders. Now, Kingdom Builders is our one fund that we do. It's to give to missions and expanding the building, the kingdom of God here in Johnson County, all over the world. And so in about 3 weeks, I'm going to ask everybody to put your name and your information and say, hey, count on me for Kingdom Builders this next year. You say, Pastor, why would you do that? Because on that day, you're going to say, thank you for giving me the opportunity to give what you have entrusted to me in my life. Am I in the right church here today? So give, give, give. And let me take it one more step further. I want to encourage you, let's begin to live this way with acts of kindness. Let's start living every day looking for opportunities to share the love of God, to be generous and to be kind. Now, in our Vision Sunday, we gave everybody a bundle of acts of kindness cards. On the front, it says, God loves you. And on the back, it says, hey, here's something a little bit extra just to remind you that God loves you, and with an invitation to our church's website. Now, and you can get those on the way out the door, your way here today. But let's be looking for opportunities. Let's say pay for somebody's meal or do some acts of kindness. Now, if you're going to be a bad person in a restaurant, don't leave the card. If you're going to be cheap in your tip, don't leave the card. But if you're going to be generous, and if you're going to be nice, and if you're going to ask the person who's waiting on you, hey, we're about to pray for our food. Is there anything we can pray with you about? Come on, somebody. All of a sudden, the kingdom of God shows up, and God begins to do things in their lives. Now, Pastor Matthias created a little video to illustrate how this might work. Watch this.
Hey, what's up? It's Pastor Matthias here. We're going to try to randomly bless someone, pay somebody's meal here at McDonald's, and then give them one of these invite cards. Do you know why? Someone out there is just one invite away from knowing God. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to invite somebody and bless the socks of somebody, or at least a little bit. All right, let's have some fun here. Let's try this out.
Hey, 216.
Can I pay for the guy behind us, too?
Yeah.
Would that be cool, just to bless them?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, guys, and then give him one of those.
Oh, okay.
Can you do that for me?
Yep, we're not.
Just try it. Yeah. You'll do it anyways.
Yeah.
You're awesome. How much do I owe you?
Both of them were $2.16 apiece.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
So he's ordering the same thing?
No, he ordered a chicken and a goat.
Are you supposed to tell me that? You're awesome.
Am I being recorded?
Yeah. Hey! We love McDonald's. Of course, we have cash. Here you go. It's all about blessing people. Someone is just one invite away from knowing God. You're awesome. Thank you.
Apparently, it's against HIPAA laws to tell people what you ordered in your... Did you see how simple that was? And I want to challenge you, everybody, all of us, we have to decide... We have to pre-decide to do this with intentionality. I'm going to give what I have. Now, here's the second thing. I'm going to intentionally serve other people. I'm going to intentionally serve other people. This is the example that Jesus set before us. In Matthew 20, he says, whoever wants to become great, I'm going to insert the word, whoever wants to be rewarded, you want to be great on the beam of judgment, must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to, what's this word? To give his life as a ransom for many. Listen, people who serve other people in the name of Jesus are going to be rewarded. That's what Jesus said. People who give their time, their talent, their resources, their gifts, their abilities, serving other people and meeting their needs, God says they're going to be rewarded. So I'm going to challenge everybody here, if you want to live with eternal perspective, you want to live for the Bema judgment, determine that you are not going to live your life for yourself, that you're going to live your life serving other people. You're going to be actually looking for people's needs. You're going to be looking around. You're going to pray scary prayers like this. Today, God, show me a need in my life and give me the courage to meet that need. All of a sudden, your boring Christian life starts to take on this excitement because now you're on this great adventure of meeting people's needs. Right? So let me do it. And around here, we want to challenge everybody to join the dream team. Get on a team. Get on a team. See, it's more than just trying to fill slots for ministry groups or anything like that. No. We want you to serve other people because that's what you were designed to do. That's what God wants you to do, to serve other people. Park a car, show up for prayer, lead a small group, serve at the food pantry, show up on Saturday morning and help feed homeless people right now. Come on, right? Right now, one of the needs we have is Celebrate Recovery. It is growing like crazy. They had over 100 the last two Friday nights. They need some worship people to help them and some tech people to help them out. So I'm trying to challenge you to a legacy life is a life that makes a difference. It lives on. Do something with your life that's bigger than your life. Live your life for something bigger than yourself. Live it for the kingdom of God. Say, Pastor, I get on a team. Well, that's where Growth Track comes in. You go to Growth Track, you find out the vision of the church, you find out your spiritual gifts, your purpose. We're going to help you find on a team. Now listen, if you've gone through Growth Track and you haven't landed on a team, do it again, all right? Or go back, talk to Pastor Tim, say, hey, I want to serve other people. Here's a crazy idea, crazy. What if you attended one service and served the other service? Wow. That's revelation right there. Let me give you one more way to prepare for the Bema judgment. I will intentionally share Jesus. The greatest gift you can give to somebody is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because people are going to have to pay for their own sin unless they come to terms with the fact that Jesus has paid the price for their sin and that through the amazing grace of God, they can have heaven forever. Can I tell you that the answer to everyone's problem is Jesus? Pastor, that's so simple. I know it is. The answer is so simple. The answer to every problem is Jesus. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everybody. This is your commission. This is our commandment. And so last week, I challenged everybody for this challenge called 3 out of 52. And here's the deal. Every Sunday at our church, we give people an opportunity to surrender their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. So I'm challenging you that 3 out of 52 Sundays, you've got a lost person sitting beside you in church. You've written their name down. You're praying for them. You're investing in them. You're building a relationship with them. And certainly you can share Christ with them on your own. Everybody should be equipped and able to do that. But we can work together as a tag team approach and say, you know what? Hey, come to church with me. And you know what's going to happen is I'm going to ask them at the end of the message every Sunday, bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm giving you permission. You got a lost person sitting next to you. You can bow your head, but do this. Keep one eye open. Are you hearing me today? You say, Pastor, why do I need to do that? Well, God wants lost people found. And one of the greatest rewards you'll ever see in heaven is when you got to play a role in a lost person being found. That's when life gets exciting. Let me tell you what. If your version of Christianity is currently boring, what you need to do is to start getting some lost people in your life and start to build a relationship with them and start praying for them to come to Jesus. Because when they come to church with you, church changes. All of a sudden, you're praying for the service. Lord, I hope Pastor Steve sings the right songs today. Are you hearing me? There's an excitement. There's a joy. I call it going to Disney World with adults versus going to Disney World with kids. You know, if you've ever gone to Disney World with adults, what do we know about Disney World? It's expensive. right? So you go to Disney World with adults, it's usually hot, it's humid, and it's expensive. What are adults gonna do? Complain. The lines are long, too, blah, 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 blah. You go to Disney World with a kid, all of a sudden you see it through their eyes, and it's magic. See, that's what it's like to have unsaved people and people that we're talking to Jesus. We're investing in them. All of a sudden, it's not about the music and the blah, 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 and the things I like, because it's no longer about you. It's about people who need the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are Christ's ambassadors. Christ is making his appeal through us. In Luke chapter 14, the Bible says, get out into the country. Get out and urge anyone you find to come in. Because God says, I want my house to be full. Why should I live my life this way? Because I want to live my life with an eternal perspective. And in eternity, the only thing that matters is people. A long time ago, I was 17. I was wrestling with my future. What am I going to do? I had received a scholarship from a school in New York to attend there. And, you know, in my mind, I'm going to go to New York and I'm going to get this degree and I'm going to do good. I'm going to be a success. One night I'm trying to sleep and I'm having this conversation in my head, in my spirit with God. And I heard God ask me this question. He says, Wayne, 100 years from now, all that money you think you're going to make, what's it going to matter? I said, well, Lord, 100 years from now, I'll be dead. And that money won't matter a bit. He said, Wayne, what's the only thing that's going to matter 100 years from now? I said, well, God, the only thing that's going to matter 100 years from now is who's in heaven and who's not. And I heard the Lord say to me, give your life to that. And so for the last 32 years, I have given my life to that. So that men and women and teenagers and children can stand before a holy God and say, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know him personally. He is my, are you hearing me today? Because in eternity, that's what matters. And all of us have to come to terms with the fact that God has created us for eternity. Matter of fact, I'd put it to you this way, and write this down somewhere. There is more to this life than this life. There is more to this life than this life. We get so discouraged, we get so bogged down, we get so focused on the here and the now and the job and the family and the stuff and the money and the bills and the pressure and the politics and the TV and all of this kind of stuff. God says, I didn't make you for that. I made you for forever. You know, there's something about coming face to face with the end of our lives here on earth that changes our perspective. This past week, I was watching a documentary about 9/11. And the documentary was talking about, it was telling the stories of the families who had received a phone call from their loved ones in the towers after the planes had hit the building. And I want to show you a clip of that, of some of those conversations in a minute. And I want to assure you, I'm not going to show you anything that's going to be horrific or anything like that. But I'm trying to illustrate something to you that when you live with perspective, your priorities change. Because the phone calls weren't, "Hey, I forgot to take out the trash," or "Hey, I can't." No. I want you to know I love you. I want you to tell the people that I love, tell them I love them. Because when we live our lives knowing there will be an end to our lives, it changes our perspective. Watch this.
I just want to let you know I love you, and I'm stuck in this building in New York. There's lots of smoke, and we just wanted you to know that I love you always.
Thank you.
love is a fire that's there. I love you, God. I love you. I don't know if I'm going to be okay, God. I love you so much.
Hi, Ron, it's me. Just want to let you know I love you and the girls. Tell my mom to, we're going down to that trade center thing, the second point. They just crashed into that building. So we're on our way down there. I love you. I'll talk to you later.
Mom, it's Steven. My plane, my building got hit by a plane, and right now, I think I'm okay, I'm safe now, but it's smoky. I just want to say how much I love you, and I will call you when I'm safe. Okay, Mom? Bye.
It's a tribute to Steven that, at the moment of his death, it can be said that he was on good terms with every member of his family.
The grandmother said, at the moment of my grandson's death, he made it right. He had it right with every member of his family. Can you say that? That currently you've made it right with everybody that you know? See, there's something about facing eternity that changes our perspective. I didn't plan to include this part in the message, but one of the things that we need to give is forgiveness. See, when I live with an eternal perspective, I recognize that the stuff that happens to me in light of eternity, now listen, I'm not saying what happened to you is okay, and I'm not trying to demean what happened to you, but listen, when I live my life with an eternal perspective, I recognize that when Jesus said to forgive, he was talking about eternity. Look at the scripture. The Bible says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ, God forgave you. See, when we live with an eternal perspective, all of a sudden we realize that we too have just moments to live. Oh, Pastor, I've got 50 years, I've got 20 years. Now look at what the scripture says. This is from the message, James chapter 4. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You're nothing but a wisp of fog catching a brief bit of sun before you're gone. See, when I live my life with an eternal perspective, I realize I'm here and I'm gone. Another translation says it's just like a mist. It's a vapor. That's it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes in this room? I want you to take a moment, and I just want you to talk to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me in today's message? Would you do business with God right where you're at today? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me about my life, about the way I'm living my life, about judgment, about the great white throne, about the Bema seat? What do I need to do in response to what I've heard today? Will you show me? Holy Spirit, show me how to make a difference with my life, this very short life that I have. I want it to count. I want it to matter. Show me how to give what I have. Show me how to serve other people. Show me how to share Christ. God, I want my life to make a difference. Some of you are here this morning, or maybe you're watching online. You're not ready for judgment. Because right now, if your life were to be required of you and you stood before God, the only thing that you could say to the question, what did you do with my son Jesus, is you would say, well, I tried to be a good person, or I tried this, or I tried that, or I wasn't as bad as the next person. Listen, that answer will not fly. The only answer is that I have fully committed and trusted Jesus Christ to save me for my sins. I have surrendered to him. He is Lord of my life. And if you have yet to do that here today, or you're unsure of your relationship with God, I will invite you to surrender your heart and life to Jesus right now and get ready for that day. I want us to pray together a simple prayer of confession, a prayer of repentance, a prayer that the Bible says if we call on the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. And others around you are going to encourage you as you pray this prayer out loud. Would you just simply say, "Dear God, I don't want to pay for my own sin. I recognize that you have already paid for my sin through your son Jesus, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. I trust Jesus to save me, not myself. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. From this day forward, I'm following you. Holy Spirit, help me serve Jesus every day and make a difference with my life. In Jesus' name, amen." Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed, if you don't mind. How many will have the courage to say, "You know what, Pastor, I meant business with God when I prayed just now. And I prayed this prayer for the first time or first time in a long time." But you'll be bold enough to raise your hand and say, "That's me. That's me." Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, keep raising them. Thank you. Yeah, I see those hands. Every section. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep raising them. Just one more moment, if you don't mind. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. You can put your hands down and look at me. I want to encourage everybody who prayed and raised your hand just now. I want to encourage you to take the next step. In just a moment, we're going to say amen. We're going to give the blessing. The service will be over. Would you go to that red information tent out in the hub and let them know, "Hey, I prayed to receive Christ." You know what they're going to do? They're going to pray with you and encourage you. We're going to put some resources in your hand to help you grow as a Christian, to follow Jesus, not just today, but every day of your life. Church, would you give congratulations to five people who surrendered their hearts and lives to Jesus in this place? Amen. Amen. Pastor Steve's going to sing this song as an encouragement and challenge to each of us. I'm going to come back. I'm going to give the blessing. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you in this song.
I watched in silence as people passed me by. And I strained to see if there was something hidden in their eyes. But they all looked back to me as if to say, "Life just goes on." The old familiar story told in different ways. Make the most of your own journey from the cradle to the grave. Dream your dreams tomorrow, because today life must go on. But there's more to this life than living and dying, more than just trying to make it through the day. More to this life, more than these eyes alone can see. And there's more than this life alone can be. Today he lies in silence, staring into space. And he looks for ways to make tomorrow better than today. But in the morning light it looks the same. Life just goes on. He takes care of his family. He takes care of his work. And every Sunday morning he takes his place at the church. And somehow he still feels the need to search. Life just goes on. But there's more to this life.
life than this life. Live your life as a legacy, a life that will outlive your life. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May your light shine bright this week. May God give you an opportunity to meet the need of somebody else. And may the Holy Spirit of God show up. May the kingdom of God show up in your life this week. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said amen. We love you very much. Go with God.